If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Our Lord speaks these words to his apostles after the Last Supper. Those moments of intimate conversation in which he desires to impart to them his final teaching before he goes to his death on the cross. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is not a threat from the Lord, not a heavy-handed insistence that they will keep his commandments or else. No, he is simply making clear to them an obvious truth, that love is something more than just a feeling or a generic intention in the heart. True love, in its deepest sense, demands to be expressed in deeds. And if we say we love someone, but do not act as if we do, do not our actions, as the saying goes, speak louder than our words? So our Lord invites his apostles and us to show our love for him by keeping his commandments. Love demands to be expressed in deeds, and when we want to express our love for someone who is a superior to us, someone who has authority over us, it's expressed especially in deeds of obedience. Just as children show their love for their parents, especially in their humble obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, our Lord says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth. Our Lord promises the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to his apostles immediately after calling them to keep his commandments. I think we can understand this reality in two senses. First of all, the apostles had just been consecrated at the Last Supper, the very first priests and bishops of the church that Christ had come to establish on earth. And so on one level, he's giving this gift of the Spirit to the apostles and their successors who have the particular task to teach in his name. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and the bishops of the world are the successors of the apostles. And for 2,000 years in this unbroken line, the bishops and the popes of the church have received the gift of the Spirit of truth to keep his commandments, to preserve for us in its integrity everything that our Lord taught. We call it the magisterium of the church, the teaching office. So often in our world dismissed as kind of an out of touch, backwards thinking reality, a burden, if you will, that places heavy obligations on our shoulders, when in reality, the magisterium of the church is a gift from the Lord to us, a gift that he has infused his Holy Spirit into to protect us, to keep us always on that narrow road that leads to eternal life. The church's teaching, which is so clear, helps us to guard against the tendency we could have to create God in our own image and likeness rather than striving to live according to the image of God that has been inscribed in our human nature. But the commandments of Christ are not always easy, are they? They're challenging, rather demanding, and especially in our day and age, very countercultural. And so he gives the gift of his Spirit not only to those who have the office of teaching in the church, but to every one of us, every Christian, through the grace of baptism. He said to his apostles that the Spirit of truth would remain with them and be in them. And that, my friends, is the gift of our baptism. The Holy Spirit dwells within our hearts. Because on our own, We can never live the commandments perfectly. The Holy Spirit is the special grace the Lord gives us, the strength, first of all, to accept and embrace His commandments, especially when they're challenging and difficult and we struggle to accept them and embrace them. Opening ourselves to this gift of the Holy Spirit inspires in us those deeds of obedience that are an expression of our love for our Lord. And the Holy Spirit, after helping us to accept the commandments of Christ, then fills us with His gifts so that we can live them in our life, so that we can truly live lives in keeping with His commandments, lives that show clearly our love for Him. In the end, it's all a matter of love. The Lord's gift of His commandments, the gift of His Holy Spirit, and our gift of humble obedience, this is the exchange of love between God and His church. And in this month of May, as we honor our Blessed Mother, the church invites us to look to her in a particular way. For in her life, these words of her Son came to be in a most profound way. Think of that moment of the Annunciation when the Archangel Gabriel comes to our Blessed Mother, reveals to her the will of God for her life, and she, out of the depths of her pure love for God, says, yes, fiat, let it be. She gives her humble obedience, her acceptance of His will as an expression of her love for Him. And immediately after, what happens, the Holy Spirit overshadows her and conceives the very Son of God in her womb. She loved the Lord, kept His commandments, and she received in its fullness this gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the pattern for our life as Christians. The more we put on the virtues of our Blessed Mother, the more open we become to the gift of the Spirit of Truth, and the more Jesus Christ comes to life in us, so that other people look at us and they see no longer us but Him, living His life anew in His followers, His disciples. As our Lord comes to us anew this day in the Holy Eucharist, let us approach Him with that humble, joyful, generous obedience of our Blessed Mother, begging Him to give us a new share in the gift of His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, so that we might indeed have the grace we need to keep His commandments in our lives as an expression of our profound love for Him. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.